Grace and peace to you from God our Father, Jesus our Savior, and the Holy Spirit our Comforter. Friends, good morning. Welcome to yet another virtual service. In our notices, love and blessings to the following as they celebrate their birthdays. On the 17th is Keith Johnson and Mbali Ngwazi. On the 18th is Mabaidi Molelekwa. On the 19th is Blaise Wright. On the 21st, Cecilia Maganma, Ipileng Nare, Busi Ngube. On the 22nd, Ma Debantsolo. And you continue to lift in prayer all those in our prayer chain and those we do not know of. Our call to worship. We gather together to worship the God of our mothers and fathers, the God who created men and women equally in God's image and likeness, God who meets us in our individual spaces and unites us with God's self, God who invites us to leave our selfish ways and take up our cross and follow Christ daily and discover what it means to be Christ's disciples, what it means to be God's church, what it means to be the light in a dark world. Let us worship together as we sing together, come into his presence. Heavenly Father, King of the universe, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Lord, we come into your presence with praise and adoration. Situations and circumstances around demand that we despair. But we know who you are. You are God, the miracle worker, God who turns the impossible to I am possible. For with you there is nothing impossible. Thank you for waking us up this morning. What a blessing it is to be able to come together in worship. Thank you, Lord. We humble ourselves before you this moment as we recall our shortcomings, our sins. Lord, we have sinned against you and against our fellow neighbor in speech, in thought, and deed. Forgive us, Lord, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for a promise of pardon, that if we confess our sins, you throw all our wrongs, all our sins, all our transgressions into the sea of forgetfulness. We thank you through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us, as we together say, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Friends, we find our scripture reading in Ezekiel chapter 47, and I'll read the first 9 verses. Ezekiel 47, verses 1 to 9. I'm reading from the New International Version. The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me round the outside of the outer gate facing east, and the water was flowing from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits, and then he led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows towards the eastern region and goes into the Araba, where it enters the sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live." Just that far. We thank God for his word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to our Lord, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. Friends, this is the last Sunday of the 7 weeks which were set aside by the presiding bishop, Reverend Purity Malinga, to respond as Methodists to the scourge of gender-based violence and femicide with their campaign, Freedom from Fear. Last week, Reverend Kim mentioned all previous week's themes. I will not go to that again. Today, we look at the church as a safe space. Perhaps one needs to ask questions. What do you see? What or who is the church? Is the church a safe space? We meet Ezekiel, the name means strengthened by God, who was born of priestly lineage and destined to become one, but he got to be deported to Babylon with the second group that was taken to exile. God called him to be a prophet whilst in Babylon. And at this time, Israel's pride and joy, that is the temple in Jerusalem, had been destroyed. Yet God speaks a message of hope through Ezekiel to those who remained in Jerusalem and those who were with him in exile. In the midst of pain, sorrow, depression, hopelessness caused by gender-based violence and femicide, God speaks a message of hope, healing, and restoration. What do you see? The angel who walked with Ezekiel in this vision asked, "Son of man, do you see this?" Ezekiel was taken by God in visions to the land of Israel. And when you read from chapter 40, we follow how from different places, and in particular within the temple, he was able to see in the vision how things were to be in the future. Because it was the vision, the prophecy about what was to happen. Remember in chapter 37 where he was shown the veil of dry bones, which later became a mighty arm of Israel. And so even in this dream, in this vision, I beg your pardon, in this vision, he is shown what will happen in the future. Ezekiel had also seen the glory of the Lord return, because the glory of God had left when the Israelites committed idolatry, that is worship of gods. In the chapter that we've read, Ezekiel is brought back to the temple entrance. And that is where he was then able to see water coming from under the altar. The water level increased as he walked on it until it became a river that one could not cross. And the angel asked a question, "Son of man, do you see this?" Sometimes we see things but lack perception or understanding. It was important for this question to be asked of Ezekiel. And even to us today, the question is asked, what do we see? Or do we see this? Because even in the face of gender-based violence and femicide, some of us still do not see it. Or perhaps they see it as not within their group, not within their class, not within their culture. Some, unfortunately so, within the church, though they see, they tend to turn a blind eye by saying, "I don't want to be involved. It is none of my business." What do we see when we look within the church? And by church, I'm not referring to the local, but the church universal. As the rivers of joy, or is it tears of sorrow amongst God's people? We preach the gospel of equality between men and women as created in God's image and likeness. But at times the same church permits oppression of the other. Until we are able to see and understand what happens in and around the church and in the communities that we live in, the healing that are supposed to flow from the church to the other areas will not happen. We need to see and become aware of what is happening, and then God can act. Who is the church? I like how one scholar, our very own South African Nico Koopman, gives the definition of church in six ways. It says the church is a building, is a denomination, a worship service, an institution, a community, individuals in their capacity in government or civil offices. Yes, Indeed. The church is an assembly, the community of Christ's followers. It is a people who desire to be like Christ in all their ways. May I add that this assembly is not like any other. It is a people who have had a personal encounter with Christ, but at times that leaves so much to be desired. When we look at stats of girls and women violated by and within the confines of the church. Perhaps like in the Old Testament times, when Eli could not reprimand his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who handled with contempt the sacrifices that were brought to the temple and abused women who ministered at the entrance. It's a similar situation in the church today. That is a church we've become comfortable with sin, injustice, exploitation. And as we read in 1 Samuel, when the Ark of the Covenant was captured, one of the daughters-in-law of Eli gave birth to a child whom she called Ichabod, meaning the glory has departed from Israel. Sometimes I wonder, is the glory of the Lord still within us? I look within our very own Methodist church. Yes, we do have disciplinary measures, such as the harassment policy. But the question is, should we be even having that in the first place? If at all we have had a personal encounter with Jesus and we are the followers of Christ, should there be that? Okay. Is there any justice that is done to perpetrators of injustice within the church? This calls for introspection, not only in the Methodist Church, but in the universal church. Are we still the church of Christ? Or we are just a copy? John Wesley said, "Give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I cannot, whether they be clergy or lay. Such alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven on earth." But these people, this space that is called church, is it a safe space? A safe space is an environment that a person or a group of people can feel confident that they will not be exposed to discrimination, criticism, harassment, or any other emotional or physical harm. I read a research paper by Christina Landman about safe spaces for women in the church. What she found out with fellow researchers was that, yes, women are welcome in church, but their role is limited to worship leading or song leading, and no leadership role whatsoever. This is due to the socialization, that is culture and religion. And I find that that is still true today, even in our context. Women are said to be given the opportunity to be in leadership roles, but the environment is not conducive. There is no support that is given to them, and as a result, women feel that they are not worthy. However, I want to say that the water that flows from the altar, it flows as Ezekiel saw it, to even to arid regions, to the desert, and wherever it flows, it brings life. And when you look at the altar, you find that Jesus gave of himself. He became the priest and the sacrifice. And his altar was at Calvary and opened the streams of living water for all. When he spoke to the woman at the well and also to those Jews who were gathered on the last day, the Feast of Tabernacles, it says that whoever drinks of the water that I give, within them there shall flow streams of living water. Because Christ came that all, boys and girls, women and men, can have life in abundance. We need to check where we are. We need to be aware of our context. Yes, Ezekiel, at the time he was in exile, but he believed the message of hope that God gave him, which he then shared with the people. For the Israelites, that they found themselves in Babylon, it's because they broke the covenant and they worshipped gods. They also forsook the hospitality code, where orphans and widows were exploited and not looked after. And when we look at ourselves as a church, as a community of believers who come together to worship, or as Christians who go and work in different offices, do women and children find a safe haven in our presence, either in the church or with us as individuals, or do they become victims when they're supposed to find a safe haven? Yet there is hope. God is doing a new thing. Let us listen to the prophetic messages against gender-based violence and be advocates too. Remember not to be a perpetrator, yet remain silent when seeing acts of violence committed equals to being a perpetrator. One of the themes that we looked at was saying silence is consent. Maybe a prayer that God make it in every one of us rivulets, streams of living waters, so that whenever we come across, experience life, just as we read that wherever the river flows, everything will live. May people find hope and courage when they look to us, when they look to the church, but let them not become victims all over again, what we call secondary victimization. It is possible if only we allow Christ to work in each and every one of us' hearts, so that indeed we could be Christ-like. Christ respected women and children, loved them, treated them, and gave them value that they have as they created in God's image and likeness. Let us pray. Almighty God, revive us as your church, Lord. Make us instruments of your peace. Let your people find hope, comfort, strength when they come into contact with us. May the spaces that you've given us in the church be places where your people can find restoration, Make us, Lord, as your church, to be the streams of living waters that flow to dead areas and bring about life. Lord, we also bring before your throne of grace your people who are sick in mind, in body, and in soul. You are the healer. Kill them, Lord. We also pray, Father, for the bereaved Holy Spirit, who is comforter. Comfort and strengthen them. We pray for the lonely and unloved, the destitute. You are close, Lord, to the brokenhearted, and you heal those of contrite spirit. Be with your people, Lord. At this time of the coronavirus, we pray for those who are taking care of your people, those who are sick as a result of coronavirus and other life-threatening diseases. Give them courage and love as they take care of your people. We pray also for our leaders, for wisdom, Lord. At a time where there are allegations of misuse of funds that should be assisting your people, Lord, we pray that your people may come and be honest and confess and pay back what they've wrongfully taken from your people. Be with each and every one of your people as they go through different challenges in life. At this time, there is anxiety, there is exhaustion. People are emotionally drained. Holy Spirit, revive and encourage and give hope and strength to your people. We ask all this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who rules and reigns together with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. We bless the tithes and offerings. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are the giver of all good and perfect gifts. Be with your people who honor you with the fruit of their labor. You have promised, Lord, that if we test you with tithes and offerings, you'll open floodgates of heaven and pour such a blessing that we'll have no room enough for it, and that will chase the devourer away. We pray, Lord, that you fulfill your promises. And we pray for all those, Lord, who wish, but circumstances are beyond, and they give of themselves. Bless them, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. And help us, Lord, with wisdom to use this gifts for the extension of your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Friends, our closing hymn is "Thou Whose Almighty Word." As I close, I want to leave you with two parts of the Franciscan benediction. May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. And together we say the benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us, now and forevermore. Amen. Friends, stay blessed.